Thank you as well. I want to thank Shaheen for being a reasonable height. Is this okay? Oh, I'm so glad Celeste is here. Okay. Thanks. So speaking of getting old, I'm reading from All the Hanging Wrenches, and this book does a lot of looking back into various times of my life. This first poem is about summer camp. Though dark had swung full down, and the low holler of stream become just one of many voices, along with bug jabber, rustle, and the ball keen hammer of the woodpecker. Though the sun had plopped out of the sky, and starlings bunched on branches against a still gelling moon, I stayed along wet stones, the creek lit silver, catching tadpoles on their squiggly route through shallow water with the boy in baggy jeans and a striped shirt that buttoned, son of the man who mowed lawns at camp, who drove a square open cart and fixed toilets when mice fell into them and drowned and clogged the pipes that ran beneath the mess hall and bathrooms, a sad, quiet boy. Maybe he wore suspenders. And maybe brown boots he set on rocks with dark socks stuffed in them. He had a pail, I'm sure of that. And with our pants rolled up, we stepped barefoot through the creek on slippery rocks, snagging tadpoles in their orbit. Not for any torture some other boy might have dreamed up, but just to cup the squirmy, snot-body things in our hands and let them swirl in our bucket before we slid them back into the eddies of the moving creek. I forgot where I was supposed to be, the cramped cabin with the girls in short sets who could keep their shoes clean and never lose things. I forgot the blocks of time that corralled us and the riding of bored horses in a line who stopped and started as a line, one horse's nose against the next one's butt, who had no use for my perfect neck reining. At the creek with the boy who sometimes rode in the cart with his father, I waded among quivering tadpoles and felt the stream ripple between my toes until counselors formed a band and carried flashlights and called for us across the darkened woods. I didn't say thank you to the other readers, and thank you to Joan and Chris, and thank you all for being here, and thanks to White Whale. The other readers made me switch course and read. I want to read one poem that pertains to immigration, Little House of Steel. There's a roasting pot in the shape of a house, heavy and silver, a roof built for snow, with weather vane handle, pot of an old world kitchen, kitchen of candles and glass, kitchen of lemon, of linen, of light through an open window, kitchen of linger, of lime, of a long line of broad-shouldered women, young broads in the rupture of nations, the deportations, split the towns, split the houses, split the women, cross the ocean, slap the cards on the table and puff your pall malls. Filterless, nicht gefährlich, Gott im Himmel. New, you should live so long. So long, Aunt Rose of the spicy mouth, Aunt Anna, Aunt May, Aunt Belle of the two-toned hair, Belle of the family, of the husbands, one, two, three. So long, so long. And yet the oddness of the house pot, its cool hammered heft, too pretty for peas, too heavy for lifting toward the finely set table of smuggled crystal, table of lace, of glass, table of borrowed children, little house of silver, too small to protect you. Simile. At Costco, there's plastic like glass, plastic like wood, plastic like flesh, plastic like metal, plastic, cherries like cherries, but a little bit like plastic. A handsome poet once asked me, why don't you write this line as a direct comparison? Not she had a face like an apricot muffin, but her face was an apricot muffin. Because nothing is really like anything else, is it? He smiled like butter. He smiled as if the beauty of his own face made his assertion logical. This was a long time ago, before Costco entered my poems, before I knew plastic entered the guts of animals. My poems were full of webs and water bugs. I wonder, is there currently a movement against similes? Nothing is really like anything else, but something really is something else. The next day, I wrote the word simile on the blackboard. The fourth graders read it as smile. Some of them clapped and jumped up and down. They wrote similes like boomerangs. They made me smile so deeply my bones felt like teeth. I've simile'd my way out of more than one situation. You should simile more often, a man used to tell me. He was like another man who used to tell me the same thing. He also said, you have a simile like no one else's, though in fact, it's very like my sister's and my niece's. A simile is like a smile with two chameleon eyes scoping in two directions, or like a stretched smile, a smile that goes on like a river. Because it's summer and we're in Pittsburgh, well, it's supposed to be summer. I think about the famous fictioneer Chuck Kinder, who was a much beloved friend and teacher to many people. And this is in memory of Chuck Kinder. It's called West Virginia. Because the day is warm and sweet with breeze, and because I won't be driving anywhere anytime soon, I think of you and how I'd think of you when I drove south. Because you asked me once, did I notice how the air turned just a little sweeter when I crossed the border into West Virginia? And did I roll down my windows, breathe it in, crank up some Lucinda and floor the pedal? And just like that, I became the outlaw you'd invented. No longer the reliable, uncoddled daughter of the humid heart of the country. No, I was a lipstick face adventurer. My past a little bluer, a little redder than most would guess. A knife stashed in my boot, chased by demons of intriguing origin, barreling across the state line. Into air, into water. It was a moment that got away from her, a moment she got away on, a car that might have braked at the sea cliff, but didn't and took flight. Mind like brush fire, inscrutable photographer, singer, mentor. It was a life that got away from her, and one she got away with for a while. Migration west to cantilevered houses touching sunsets, a sun that took its sugar hold on all beneath it until it dropped, loaded into the ocean. The friends who descended like grasshoppers onto deck chairs and steps. The herd of children stampeding into the pool, clutching stupid-faced, inflated horses, while adults darkened into their alcohol and the so-good husband strummed an adulterous love song. It was a brush fire that got away from her. I think of the clown suit she donned for lunch with her ravenous therapist. I think of the beauty of the two children, boy and girl, dropped at a friend's on the way to the cliff. I see them holding hands, the way they did when they first moved from New York, the sides of their small bodies touching. I have two more. This is called Our Bodies. Our bodies followed us around like the sky. Few questioned our penchant for evaporation. We aspired to be whispers, moth-like on our true path to disappearance, as if some customized rapture, like a shop vac, would guzzle us up if we were thin enough, and if not, leave us flattened like houseflies. In locker rooms, the bodies of the lovelies glowed like fishbone. They moved within the follow spot of our envy. Blessed are the starving mice that eat their own tails. Blessed are the kneecaps unveiled like the bald heads of babies. Remember when we pulled away from ourselves like riptides? Remember when we lived on pomegranate seeds and our mothers bargained our release, hauled us back into the land of gin and tonics, of Ames chairs and the glass party table, of cigarettes arranged in a silver top hat and cow tongue on a green ceramic plate, of red-faced adults with bloat-white voices who cornered us between the kitchen and bathroom, and we sought to weigh less than mosquitoes. This last one, the first line is also the title. Today on the car radio, someone said research conducted by someone somewhere concluded that talking to yourself is a good thing. Excellent news, I said to the radio. I'm in the hills of Georgia for 2 weeks, alone in a dilapidated house with no internet, cell service, TV, or radio. People with higher IQs tend to talk to themselves, said the car radio. Talking to oneself does not indicate that one is crazy. Rather, it improves focus, alleviates anxiety, and facilitates working out problems. What a relief, especially since a few days ago, the car radio told me loneliness takes several years off a person's life. Well, define loneliness, I said to the radio. When I had a cat, I chatted with her, despite her clear look of boredom. When I'm with another person, I sometimes feel we're both talking to ourselves. A rather pretty flying insect alighted on the pine table this evening to join me for dinner. I question whether I'm actually lonely, I said to the insect.